you, coming to you live today from Jamestown. Been looking forward to this show for quite some time. I noticed that on the schedule of the North Dakota Farmers Union, they weren't just going to sit on their heels and take whatever. They were going to get out to D.C. and try to do something about it. They were going to get out there and try to make the case for why they need a strong farm bill. And so I said, we got to get a hold of Woody. We got to find out what happened. Either go with him or if schedules don't work out, we've got to make sure that we get word out on how this fly-in to D.C. went. And so here I sit. I'm in Jamestown with Woody Barth, president of the North Dakota Farmers Union. Woody, good to have you on News and Views.
Good to be with you, Joel, and welcome to our state office.
What a beautiful place. Every time I come here, I mean, it looks awesome. I park the cruiser and I never hit one curb. That's a good day.
That's a good day.
All those nice curbs out there, I didn't want to leave any black on them. Okay. Woody, how many people did you take down to D.C. with you?
We had 65 members with us in D.C.
65?
Oh, wow. One of our largest contingents ever. We had members, and the good news is we had a lot of young members that were expressing their opinions and trying to help educate the members of Congress, the staff members of Congress, on why this farm bill is so important.
There's one thing that you and I, who have done a number of these before, realize is that the representatives and the senators are who they are. Everyone knows them. But we also know how their time works. It's the staff that you really have to get to spend a lot of time with and work with on this. How did that go? Some of those staff members tend to be young, and you have a re-education process to it all.
That's the important part for us, is to go down there, tell them our story, our story as family farmers and ranchers, why the Farm Bill is so important. We talk to them about keeping the nutrition title with the Farm Bill. We talked to them about, you know, price supports, crop insurance, safety nets, ag credit, energy title, our rural development title. We talked to them about all the aspects of the Farm Bill, why it's important to us as family farmers and ranchers, and we educated them, whether they're new staff members that have been on the Hill for quite some time. In a lot of cases, we did actually get to meet with the members, and we had a great time talking, discussing with them. You know, great reception. The question is, why don't we have a farm bill as of now?
Let's walk through that. Let's first off, the Senate version of the farm bill, bipartisan version. It's not Democrat owned. It's not Republican owned. Both sides of the aisle coming forth, including a nutrition program in that, senior meals, a hot lunch program in schools, realizing that it truly is a food program for the nation. Give me your take on the changes, the good, the bad, everything in the Senate version.
Senate versions, we're very happy with the Senate version. We would like to rather have the House price support systems. We think it's there's a better safety net within the price safety net of the House version. But the Senate version goes a long way to working with that. There's some good provisions within the safety net on crop insurance, tying that to crop insurance. But also along with that is the crop insurance tie-ins, but also we fully fund the energy title in the Senate version, which is excellent for North Dakota, excellent for renewables throughout the nation, of getting that to move forward. So the Senate has done their job. We'd like the Senate version, but what we need right now is the House to step up, get the nutrition title passed onto the conference committee and conference's bill as needed.
Well, and therein lies the rub. You've got bipartisan approach. There is a recognition that what's happened before has worked in the Senate. Senator Hovind coming out and saying this is what we have to have. If we don't have a nutrition program in this, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get this through the Senate. And yet on the House side, the first thing they did was split and divide. Now, why? Did they give you an explanation when you were down in D.C. as to why?
No strong explanation. They had some the House members or certain faction within the House that has trouble with the nutrition title. They believe there needs to be more cuts within the nutrition title. Yet we know 92% of that goes to children, goes to elderly, disabled, and actually a part of that, it goes to people that are actually working yet don't have enough income to maintain food on their table for their families. So the important part to us is to keep that title together, you know, and to explain to the House members this needs to be tied together. And you know, as one of our members talked about, this is a safety net for family farmers and ranchers, but it's also the nutrition title is a safety net for the American citizens to make sure they have food on their table when they can't afford to put it there themselves.
Well, Colin Peterson, a name that, you know, state rep, District 7 in Minnesota, or not state rep, United States Congressman from District 7 in Minnesota, long, you know, he was chairman of the House Ag Committee. He was, you know, and then the Republicans got the majority, and it really didn't change that much when it came to farmers because he worked so well with the Republicans on that committee as well. He and his Republican colleagues and his chairman, Lucas, came out of that committee and said, don't mess with this bill. Don't mess with this. We've got a fragile coalition. We've got the votes. We've whipped them. We know where we're at. We know we can pass this thing. And this puts the House in a position of strength in terms of maybe some more cuts in some of the areas that the Tea Party members in the House felt they needed to have if they get to a conference committee. And no sooner did that get to the floor than Eric Cantor and his group of people, which unfortunately included Congressman Kramer, they did gut it, Woody. I mean, they did gut it. So what explanation did they give for why they divided out the people actually eating food from a food policy for the nation?
You know, there's really no strong explanation for that. You know, they said this is a policy, part of the nutrition title. It's not really the appropriated amount, but yet they talk about trying to reform that. If that reform is needed, and, you know, there's probably some need for some reform in that, even though that nutrition title has gone a long way already to being reformed, let's get it to conference committee. That's where the reforms need to be made. Let's get something that can pass both chambers. You're not going to make reforms by just having it as a certain sect within the House of Representatives, having the House vote on their cuts. This kind of reform that they talk about, a true nutrition title, the whole farm bill, needs to be gone through the conference committee. Both chambers need to agree on it, as well as the president needs to sign a bill that he can agree to. So this is about all of us working together. You know, politics is the art of compromise.
Well, and here's the other part to all of that. They, you know, Kevin Kramer told me on this show, he was good enough to come on and explain why he did what he did on the farm bill. He thinks my take of it is wrong, that the scenario that I laid out of how it played isn't in fact the case. I completely disagree with him on that, but that doesn't change the fact that he said, well, when this gets to conference committee, it's my belief. Now, this is what Kevin Kramer said. It's my belief that we'll go back to the Senate version, and that's what will come back to the U.S. Congress. What does your members think about that? What did they hear on this fly-in on that?
We heard that the $4 billion of cuts in the Senate bill are a lot closer to where we're going to be, that, you know, that might shake out to anywhere to $8 to $10 billion. That's the most that the Senate will ever accept to begin with. So the idea of trying to get $40 billion of cuts out of the House is impossible. That'll never pass a conference committee. It'll never pass the Senate, and it'll never pass the full House. That was the one subject we talked about quite a bit down there. Will they even vote on a nutrition title with $40 billion of cuts if they don't have the votes to do it? And there's a lot of belief in Washington. They don't have the votes in the House of Representatives to pass out a $40 billion cut in nutrition title. That's not going to survive the conference committee. Why would those members want to vote on those cuts? That's not going to survive, and that the president will never sign.
Let's do a doomsday scenario here when we come back, though. I'm curious what you, as president of the Farmers Union, think if nothing happens, if nothing gets done, if they reach such an impasse that they're a House divided amongst themselves in the House, and that's really what's happening here. The Tea Party members are ruling the Eric Cantors, who was with Congressman Kramer recently out in Williston. And I know that there were some reporters out there who asked him about the farm bill and where this is going to go. And he said, we're going to get it to conference committee. It's still not there. And so there are some people, I believe, Woody, who don't want a farm bill, period. Can we acknowledge that?
Absolutely.
Right. And so we need to talk about what happens if they win when we come back. Fellow Farmers Union members with you out to D.C., they get a chance to talk to a lot of people. And obviously with that number of people going, there's a concern out there. For me, mostly what I hear from farmers, it's about crop insurance. It's about fearing, you know, the things that they can't control themselves and being able to not be able to purchase something because you can't find it on the open market at any rate that's affordable. So the question becomes this, Woody Barth, president of the North Dakota Farmers Union, what happens if nothing happens?
That is a scenario that is not good for North Dakota family farmers and ranchers. That's not good for any farmer within the United States. It's a situation that needs to happen. The uncertainty alone is something that we, as family farmers and ranchers, our lenders, the whole communities within the supply system, the marketing system within North Dakota, cannot stand. We have to have a farm bill. It needs to be written. We can probably go to the end of the year without a major ramifications of this current farm bill not being extended. We don't want an extension. We want a new farm bill written to give family farmers the certainty they need to plan their operations. Every other business moves along and has puts plans together. Right now, those family farmers and ranchers in North Dakota can't do that because we don't have a farm bill.
I had Debbie Stabenow on with me before. She's chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, and she hails from Michigan, which, like many states, you don't think of as an ag state. Michigan is very much an ag state, sugar-producing state, a lot of things that are similar to what we do here. And I said to her, I said, is this just a bluff by Harry Reid? Is Harry Reid going to grant a one-year extension? The House signs off on a one-year extension, and they play this, you know, we hate Obama game one more round. And she said, you know, Joel, it's not a bluff by me. We either get this thing solved and we put a policy in place for ag producers, or we'll, you know, the ag producers need to realize who's on their side. That really sunk home with me, Woody. I'm curious what your reaction to that was.
We heard the same thing. We heard from Speaker Reid and Debbie Stabenow on the same stage on Monday afternoon. True resolve there, true commitment. We heard from Senator Heidi Heitkamp. She said that she cannot believe the resolve, the tenacity that Senator Stabenow has to get this farm bill done. We don't want an extension. If we get it, you know, even if an extension would pass, we'd probably lose the direct payment money out of there, which, you know, we want to give up direct payments, but not the money. We need the money to come back within the farm bill pool to write good farm policy that'll be, you know, good for family farmers and ranchers. We need a strong price safety net, as long as a strong weather-related safety net, that crop insurance, those tied together, you know, the credit title, energy title, they all need to be tied together. But the one thing we heard down there, and we visited these offices, is Chairman Stabenow is truly committed to get this farm bill done, and this is not a bluff. They want it done. They want it done now, and that's what we believe as well as Farmers Union members.
Whenever I've traveled with or had you on with me as Farmers Union members, the one thing you always stress is what's happened positive. And I'm wondering if that didn't come across. Did people hear the message when you pointed out that the last farm bill worked? That, yes, we can talk about direct payments and maybe the need for some of that. And we can talk about areas that maybe we can save in the SNAP program and others. So, you know, both bills having some cost savings there. But did it point out that commodity prices are doing well? We're exporting food across the world. We're feeding nations that couldn't feed themselves. And you know what? I'll be darned if I'm going to sit here and apologize for North Dakota farmers doing well economically. We haven't done bad. And why is that a bad thing, Woody?
We totally agree with you. And farming has been very good these last 5 years. This 2008 Farm Bill was very good for us. The idea of moving renewables forward, getting a great demand for our products. We have a, you know, trade surplus within the ag community right now, moving those products overseas. Good commodities prices have done well for North Dakota. We have seen a flourish in agriculture we haven't seen since the 70s because of that. And this farm bill has worked. You know, we're willing to give up the direct payments portion of that to put that into a stronger safety net. We'll take our fair share, $24 billion in cuts, the Senate version has proposed. We'll work with that, but we need a strong farm bill. You know, right now we're seeing prices drop down over the last 6 months to a level of, you know, more of a break-even price for family farmers and ranchers. But the idea of this farm bill working the last 5 years, they talked a lot about that. And when they went into the offices, our members went into those offices, they said, we've had it good for the last 5 years. We want to continue that, but that's been good for rural America,
right,
up and down from North Dakota to Texas. And that, we believe, has spread out to other industries. You know, John Deere has done well. Caterpillar has done well. All these industries related to agriculture have done very well, and yet the American consumer has the lowest cost food of anybody in the world.
Let's get John on with you. John, you have a question for Woody.
Yeah, thank you, Joe, for taking my call. Say, if you know, you're talking about farmers doing well and everything, well, then they should pay some of this money back for their crop insurance.
Okay, give me an example of what you're getting at, John.
I'm tired of paying for their crop insurance. If they want to farm, let them farm. So what if it costs? It's their choice to farm. And I'm with Kevin Kramer on this.
Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate your call. He doesn't believe that the government should have any involvement in crop insurance. That's what I heard.
Agriculture is a very risky business, and we need to have some kind of safety net involved with that. And crop insurance does get family farmers and ranches that. We would not have that lowest cost price of food of anybody in the world without a strong crop insurance program that protects family farmers and ranchers. Actually, when I started farming 35 years ago, Joel, we didn't have that safety net. That risk was put back on family farmers and ranchers, and we saw what happened in the 80s. We lost a tremendous amount of young farmers, farmers my age at that time, that just couldn't succeed. That safety net wasn't there. We need to utilize that safety net. You know, we believe in farm policy that we need to limit that, the amount of subsidies given to family farmers and ranchers. We need to limit that through the crop insurance program. But crop insurance is definitely needed. We need to structure a program in the right way to help all. But, you know, for lenders, suppliers, marketers, we all need that safety net. And crop insurance is a big part of that.
Woody, thanks for flying out there. On behalf of a lot of farmers, thanks for flying out there.